Yeah, we need the Lord to flood the nations, don't we? With grace and mercy. Isn't he wonderful that he's a God of grace and we're able to trust him? Well, let's just have a little prayer before we share together from his precious word. We thank you, Lord, that Paul shared his heart and it's written in your word, and he said it was by the grace that you had given to him that he was able to do anything at all. And it's by the grace of God that we are what we are here this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that you want to flood the nations with grace and mercy. May you do that in that small part through us where we live and in this community, that we may share the joy that we have in knowing Jesus Christ as the one we trust. Help us as we open your word and just share in this brief time together. And may we take hold of something that we can live out as you empower us by your Holy Spirit for the honor of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you all. You've been forbearing. Not everybody's been with us for 5 weeks. But this is the fifth week in the series of Firm Foundations. And we began the series, as you know, with Firm Foundations in Focus. We thought about the essential nature of the foundations of our lives, especially whether we are building our lives aright. The first essential we saw is Jesus Christ. Not just knowing about Jesus, of course, not just knowing what is written about him in the Bible, not even knowing what we've learned about him as we've grown up, but the first essential of having Jesus Christ as our Savior, our Lord, and the only one that we trust for life. So that was the first essential, knowing him personally, walking with him. And then we thought together about the features of these firm foundations which were discovered and are developed in the Bible. And the whole series has been built on that little parable that Jesus told of a wise man who built his house on a rock, who Jesus said was like a person who hears his word and then puts it into practice. So that's what we want to bring together as we bring this little series to a conclusion. So it's Firm Foundations, and today's topic is formation. And as we saw from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that Harrison read to us, and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2 as well, we'll see how the formation takes place, because what is to be built needs to be formed and developed and constructed on a firm foundation. And we're talking not just about buildings, but we're talking about our lives, of course, how our lives are being grown and developed. This is a stone building, because we're going to be particularly thinking about living stones, because we're all stones this morning. We don't look like stones, but that's the way the Bible, one of the ways the Bible describes us. The Bible's full of lots of little pictures and illustrations of what we may look like. And one of the pictures is a living stone. Well, I don't know if you've ever handled a stone that jumps about, but we, as people, can be in all sorts of situations, and the Bible describes us as living stones. There's a real art, I understand, to building with stone. Very different to how you see the buildings going up today. I think it takes a little longer to build with stone than it does with all the materials that you see on a building site today. Well, I found a little clip of an expert who builds with stone. He's a dry stone wall builder, but whether he's building just a wall or the whole property, he has a few gems to share. So just listen as he shares with us, he's a real good old northerner who's obviously a real good expert in working with stone. I thought he was a wonderful chap, the way he was able to build this stone. And I thought, great, all those stones were different. He said he could use different shapes and sizes of stone, but they all contributed to what he was building. And I thought, yeah, that's great. We're all different, aren't we? And Rita particularly mentioned how we fit together as the Church of Jesus Christ, the family of God, not just in this little fellowship, but across the region, across the nation, and indeed across the world. We're all different. Rita said we all look different. God's created us uniquely. And some of us are very small little stones, and sometimes I feel very small, and some perhaps are a bit bigger and play a more prominent part. But we're all contributing to the building. It's interesting that the builder, that expert man, knew exactly where to place each stone. They didn't all go in the same place. He didn't just sort of throw it all in and then heap it all together. He was quite sure that he put them in so that they were firm and they were not moving. They were in place. It needed some expertise. I guess he'd had years and years of experience. He knew exactly where to put them, and I expect he could build fairly quickly. He knew the best position where everything fitted in. And I thought, well, we know who the master builder is for the church that bears his name, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows who we are, how we're made up. He knows exactly where we fit in best. And if we let him put us in the right place in what he's constructing, it's bound to fit, isn't it? So we need to listen and learn of him. The man went on, actually. I cut the video a bit short, but he showed some tools that he uses. And he's got some very interesting hammers with very sort of pointed ends, which he used to trim some of the stones to get them to fit in just perfectly in the right slots, the very best fit. And I thought, you know, the Lord is exactly like that. Why did he leave the Holy Spirit amongst his people and into our lives? Well, if you're a stone like me, you may have some rough edges. And you may need a few rough edges chipped off in order to fit. Because the rough edges in the family of God and in the Church of Jesus Christ can cause a lot of friction and difficulty, can't they? And it's very interesting how many people have been roughed up because of experiences in church. That's sad, isn't it? But building formation sometimes involves a little bit of trimming in our lives. Did you notice that he was working on the foundation particularly? He had those big stones in the foundation. The large stones were at the base, but he also talked about what was coming higher up, and he said as it narrowed and came in and in as he went up, he may have some big stones that were out at either end, and he called them through stones, I think he said they were. And he said, they are there to actually help keep everything together. I thought, isn't that lovely? The Lord used the Apostle Paul, and he's used people through all the generations, and he's often had key people that he's used as through stones to keep a fellowship locally, or a church regionally, or the church worldwide, to keep us together. And God's done that. There are through stones. And then he talked about, did you notice he used the word capstone? That's a Bible term. Jesus is described as the capstone, as well as he's described as the foundation. I was quite thrilled when I heard that he said the capstone that went on the top stopped any movement. It held the wall together. And that would be so for all the walls of a structure, four walls for a room or a house. Jesus is wonderful, isn't he? He's the capstone. He strengthens and holds together his church. Wonderful. Tremendous illustration of what he is doing. I didn't notice any cement mixer or concrete mixer, did you? He was just building with natural stone. If you've been out along, I think in Cornwall particularly, but certainly up in the north, you get lots of dry stone walls. They're all held together quite naturally. They don't need anything else. The love of God holds us together. You can't see the love of God, can you? But you know it's real. And I thought, wow, what a formation we have. There were so many things in that that I thought we could learn from. But then I thought, what is he building? He was building one wall, and it was part of one construction. And I thought, that's exactly what the Lord is doing. The Lord hasn't got a little pile of stones here and another little pile of stones there. He has one church in heaven and on earth, throughout the world, and for one purpose. He wants to dwell amongst his people. It's for him. It's his dwelling. It's what he's building. And I thought, how exciting. How wonderful. So I thought, you'd probably quite like that little illustration. And there's so much to learn from it. It's like a little object lesson, really, isn't it? Well, let's just move on and think about it. As we've seen, as you build, the stones are differing shapes and sizes, but they all contribute to the building. The builder knew exactly where to put them. The tools were used to shape. The foundation had the large stones at the base, so we all need to know where we fit in. The through stones helped to keep things together. The capstone strengthened and stopped any movement. But they were all held together naturally as part of one construction because they had a common purpose. No wonder, then, that Christian believers are described as living stones. So this formation takes place. Why? Well, because we are told in 1 Corinthians 3 that Harrison read for us, that don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you, dwells in you. We're a dwelling for the Holy Spirit, God's very life and presence amongst us. Living stones, Peter says, are to be built into a spiritual house. That's a dwelling as well, isn't it? 1 Peter 2. Living stones to form a spiritual house. The formation, first of all, we see is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if Jesus Christ is not Savior and Lord of an individual's life, they're not part of the building which God wants for his church. That is the first essential. We personally must say, yes, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And then we saw that we must also submit to what he has revealed in His Word, in the Bible, and have the life qualities that feature in the Bible. That's what we've been looking at in this series about firm foundations. But I hope you noticed when Harrison read to us that although there's no other foundation that can be laid other than Jesus Christ, Harrison read, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. So, if anyone uses these different materials, the materials used, we can see, will actually be tested. How are we building? How is the church being formed? How shall we grow? Well, Jesus made it quite clear who and what quality could be part of the formation of the kingdom of God. So I thought if we're looking at quality, it might be good just to look briefly at something that Jesus said about what forms gold, silver, and costly stones as opposed to wood, hay, or straw. And it's all about the quality of the living stone. And if you and I are the living stones, it's all about the quality of our lives. So I thought, let's just look and see what Jesus said. And here's one little quote that we looked at last year when we looked at Mark's gospel. Jesus said, and here's the quality, here's the test if you like, if, and it's a big if and anyone, which means anyone can opt in, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory. So the formation is of living stones, of those who have yielded their lives completely to the Lord Jesus Christ, who are open and available for what he wants to do with them, how he wants to fit them in, who are living a life, it says, that is different, that is filled with the Spirit, and has a lifestyle that shows that they're, well, it says denying self, doesn't it? Taking up the cross, following Christ. Well, I think that needs a lot more unpacking, but it'll have to wait for another occasion. But, of course, such stones can become living stones when the life of Christ flows in and through those stones. It's just ordinary people. It's just you and me with transformed lives who will impact and are impacting history as we're built together. Because we're an ordinary bunch of folk, aren't we? We're not extraordinary. None of us are special. Not in any extreme sense. We're just ordinary people. And that's how God is at work. Just look at these verses in Ephesians. There are so many verses in the Bible about the living formation that God is bringing together. Here's another one. In him, in Jesus, the whole building is joined together. That's good, isn't it? Joined together. And rises. So we're growing up. We're not falling apart. And rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. That's why we need firm foundations. Isn't that great? It says you yourselves are God's temple in the verse that Harrison read to us. We are. It's for the dwelling of God. God wants to live in us and amongst us. But just notice the two words I've highlighted. It says you, yourselves. That's plural, isn't it? That's all of us together. Are God's temple. That's singular, isn't it? So we're not lots of little individual temples. All of us together, and that's not just the few of us who are sat here this morning, it's all Christians, all believers in all the world, everyone forms one dwelling for God, one church, God's church, through all of time and all of history for God to dwell in. Or if we look at what Peter wrote, he said, you like living stones are being built into a spiritual house. The same thing comes through Peter. Stones, that's plural, isn't it? Lots of you are being built into a spiritual house. That's singular, isn't it? So it's one church. Sometimes when we think about church, we think about, oh, our chapel. But wait a minute. We're joined with all the others who worship the Lord Jesus in this whole Torridge area. But wait a minute, we're joined with all those who worship the Lord in the whole of Devon. But we're joined with all of those who know and are part of God's building in the whole of the United Kingdom, and we go to the whole world. There's one church. That's why I find it very thrilling and exciting to join in with what God is doing. I still have a few of the new Ignite magazines that come out through counties. Rita and I we'll be with David Simmons and Katie tomorrow morning. We're supporting them. And I find this very exciting because there are reports that come from different parts of the United Kingdom of how the Lord is building his church, one church, in lots of different ways. And there was one very exciting story in here of a man who was just totally addicted to drugs and alcohol and in a complete mess, and he's found freedom through Christ, and it's great. He's across in Bury St Edmunds, and I read his story and I thought, that's great what God is putting in another little part of his building, and he's growing up. I still have a few of these left. If anybody would like one afterwards and you haven't had one yet, please take one, because I think it's encouraging to read and to be part of something that's much bigger. Rita and I love to meet with Dave and Katie Simmons as counties evangelists, because it takes us much wider and it thrills our hearts as we get involved. We're not just locked into a locality. Every Christian, of course, every Christian believer should be a functioning part of what God is building. And he knows how he wants to fit us in. How? Well, sometimes it involves personal choices. We all have decisions to make. I think we'll have lots to make this week. But living for Christ involves personal choices. So we only begin to function and grow up into this building as we play our part. But it also needs, and I'm glad Piers mentioned it, we need the help and support and the input of supportive life builders. Here were two older ladies, and they were studying the Bible together and praying together, meeting together. Well, whether we're able to continue to do that remains to be seen, but we can find ways in which we can help and input into each other's lives. There are lots of creative ways in which we do that. That's part of being formed into the building that God wants. It depends, as Ephesians 4:16 tells us, as each part does its work. It's great when we work together and support each other. If any of those people pulled in the wrong direction when they were trying to construct that, all the rest of them would have had a big problem, wouldn't they? I like it when we're all going in the same direction, and that means we listen to what God says and we let him do it. The first Christians, of course, they learned much together. They met often. They shared meals. They prayed together. They engaged with the community around them. They declared the good news of Jesus Christ with authority, and they had a tremendous impact. Many thousands were added to their number. And that was the formation of what the Holy Spirit was developing through them. And so as we think about this, we're only scratching the surface. I'm only throwing out a few ideas about firm foundations. I'm only throwing out a few ideas of what God wants to form and how he wants to use us as part of the whole. But we have to ask the question as we just bring this to a close, and we're going to then just take communion together. What is the formation on firm foundations that God actually seeks for us today? What is it God wants to build through us? We are a vital part of what God is building. We're not an insignificant part. We're a vital part. And what we see God building amongst our lives is not only just for us here. It will affect Westward Ho and Northam and Appledore and Biddeford, and you can go further out to Heartland, or you can go to Clovelly. It will affect every other part, and it will affect the whole of what God is doing. So let's be in prayer, and let's be available, let's be open to the Lord. Of course, one of the ways in which we are part of the whole is exactly what we're going to move into now, to come around the Lord's table. Because this is something that the Lord Jesus himself, the very night he was betrayed, before he went to the cross, he said, I want you to continue to do this in remembrance of me until I come. And I tell you what, his coming is being highlighted like never before. If you take notice of what's happening in the world, you can't help but notice as you read the Bible that the coming of the Lord is near. I must say, I must be ready for him to appear at any time. And he said we should do this until he comes. So let's think about that as we break bread together and remember that none of this would be possible without Jesus coming and putting his arms of love around us, going to the cross and saying, I'm there for you, and then embracing us and say, I want to make you into my building. It's very precious, isn't it? Now, the deacons have decided that instead of having a loaf of bread, we will have wafers so that you don't have to touch the bread. There's individual wafers are on a plate. They're moving about a bit here, but you could better pick one up without causing any contamination. I'm sure we won't, at any rate. But we're going to use wafers, and then we'll have the individual cups as we normally do. What we do, if we may, is to sing a hymn. What I think we'll do is we'll sing the first three verses of From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. I've chosen this because, you know, it's wonderful as we come to the Lord's table to remember that Jesus was sent by his Father into a world that was in a mess. And our world is in a bit of a tangle today, and people don't know which way to turn. But Jesus came right into this world as a helpless babe. And Jesus was totally in control of his own destiny. He is still totally in control of history. He is still totally in control of your life and my life. He's still totally in control of what he's building of his church. And he is going to come again. That gives us every confidence to trust him, doesn't it? So I want us to sing the first three verses of this, and we'll hold back the last verse until we've broken the communion together, if that's all right. So let's stand and sing this first three verses.
From heaven you came, helpless babe.